We'll go from there. Cool. So, okay, Cherry, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for hopping on the call. And I just want people to kind of get to know who you are and your story of how you became an entrepreneur. And yeah, just maybe the background that people might not know about, you know, so such as like how you got into what you're doing today. And so, yeah, can you kind of explain to us, you know, your background, like where you grew up and kind of what, I know you said you went to USC for school, but yeah, just kind of tell us your story.
So my background is really like a very typical like Asian kid who listens to her parents kind of story. And so growing up, my one goal was to, you know, get good grades, go to a good school. Every single school that I go to, like even when it comes to like high school and college, it's always like, oh, just get to a better school. And from there, get a better job and, you know, work a traditional 9-to-5. And I still remember just having the goal of getting into a Big Four accounting firm as like my like biggest dream when I was in college. But then that really changed when I really started working at the Big Four accounting firm as like my first year. So within that first year, I realized that, hey, this might not be something that I really want to do for the rest of my life. And I don't really see myself going to, you know, going through that partner track and becoming partner at my firm. And so that was really the time when I decided to take my YouTube channel, which was a couple years old already. I think back then it was like, four years old. I decided to really take my YouTube channel more seriously and really consider it as like a serious way of making money as a serious income stream. So that's kind of how I started.
And that was while you were in accounting? That's when you...
So that was when I was an auditor at the Big Four accounting firm.
Which one? Which accounting firm was it?
Ernst & Young.
Ernst & Young. Okay. So you got in, and then when did you realize like this isn't what I really want to do? And then like, were you doing YouTube while you were there, or did you just completely stop? And then,
so I was doing YouTube the entire time, like juggling either full-time school or full-time work. So that was like always there, but it's really that mindset shift that like caused me to take it more seriously. But yeah, I was, you know, just juggling my full-time job at the same time.
Okay. So how many episodes would you put out on YouTube a week? And like how much, like when did you start seeing income come in, and like how did you market it and get people to see it?
So for YouTube income, it's really interesting because I don't get the majority of my income from YouTube ad revenue. And a lot of people, they tend to focus a lot on the YouTube ad revenue side of things. But in my opinion, that's kind of, for one, unpredictable, because it really depends on like how the advertisers pay. And that's really out of our control. And for two, of course, there's a YouTube algorithm, which always changes. And so my focus is more on serving like a tight-knit community of people who are passionate about building their wealth and net worth and building up their income streams. And so the majority of my income when it comes to like YouTube isn't really YouTube ad revenue, and it's more on the education side, like for example my courses, for example my coaching programs. And the YouTube ad revenue has always been there, but it's like a very like, I want to say, insignificant portion in the like big picture.
Sure. And what kind of coaching do you do, and like what do you charge, and like what's like how do you go about that part? So it's like a lead generation more for you, sounds like.
So YouTube is definitely a platform for me to be able to reach more people. And I do wealth coaching, so I help people build new income streams beyond their 9-to-5 jobs. And a lot of my clients, they currently have full-time jobs. And since I am in the same position, I know what it's like to have to juggle a full-time job and other income streams. And I don't really talk about prices before I actually talk to them in person, because I don't take on every single client that comes to me, because I want to make sure I can actually help them before taking them on.
Okay. And you help them with what exactly, like build their own coaching program, or?
It's really different based on each person. So for example, one of my other clients, Tiffany, before becoming an entrepreneur, she already had experience in online marketing. So she was a beauty Instagrammer for a while, and she had a lot of like makeup tutorials, and she was able to grow her Instagram account to, I think, around 50K. And then after working together, I was able to help her figure out, hey, she has a talent in social media, and she really leveraged that. And so after working together, she was able to earn her first 10K in her social media coaching business, to have a one-on-one coaching business, and also have a group coaching program, and also build her digital course. And that is all within 8 weeks of working together. And within the first 4 weeks, she was able to make her first 10K in social media coaching. And fast forward to a couple months later, I'm just like watching her grow, and she was able to hit a 25K week just from her one-on-one coaching program.
Wow. So one-on-one coaching, is that like, is that for like a set amount of months, or is that per month? You just
like, do you mean like for my own program?
Or just like how you teach people? Is it like you do them on a monthly basis, or like a 3 month period?
Yeah. So my signature program is 8 weeks, and all of my clients are able to build on average 3 new income streams in 8 weeks.
3 new income streams in 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's through coaching, through courses and stuff like that, and maybe YouTube. So
yeah.
Dang. So yeah, that's crazy. So when did you decide, hey, this is not worth it for me to be at this accounting firm, like where you're probably making a good salary, right? Like maybe six figures at least, right? A good amount.
I realized that I don't want to do this within my first year.
Okay.
So
first year. Okay.
Cool. Yeah. It's really funny because when you're an intern, they treat you really well. They just want you to sign the offer, right? And yeah. So they just, you know, bring you to Disneyland. They give you all these perks. They feed you really well. Yeah. They, you know, bring you to steakhouses and whatnot. But then when you actually start full time, you realize that, hey, it's actually not like that. There's like tons of overtime. You don't get paid for overtime because you're salaried. And like, just it made me realize that I don't want to do this for like the long haul. And so when I was like debating whether or not I want to quit, there were a couple other companies like reaching out to me to like, you know, want me to join them. And one of which is the company that I currently work for. It's a tech firm, but I like to keep them separate, so I don't really talk about which company this is. Mm-hmm. But I just remember the timing is really perfect, because even though I was kind of debating whether or not I want to leave, if this company did not reach out, I'd probably not like really take the initiative to really leave my Big Four accounting firm. And so it was like really the perfect timing for me to realize that, hey, there are other opportunities out there, and it might be, you know, a better thing for me to finally leave Big Four, even though, you know, there's that shiny name, being in a Big Four accounting firm is like so respectable and all that, but in the end is not what really is what I really wanted to do.
Yeah. And so you say you're still working at that tech company, or
yes,
can't you just do what you're doing full
time? I'm still working at the tech company, and it's mainly because I'm Canadian and I'm here with a work visa, and I just bought my house last year.
You just what? Oh, bought your house.
Yeah.
Okay, nice. And so you need that, I guess the Canadian part, the business part.
Yeah, so I am here on a work visa, and so I do want to, you know, be able to enjoy the house that I bought. So I think in the foreseeable future, I plan on keeping the job.
Okay, nice. And so, I mean, do you ever plan to like leave that and just do what you're doing full time? Because I feel like you could do that full time if it wasn't for the house, I guess, right?
Yeah. I mean, the financial sense, like, it's not really the financial sense anymore. It's more of like the logistics because of the visa reasons. But at the same time, like, the stock price of my current tech company is also doing pretty well, and just doesn't make sense for me to leave right now. So I think, considering everything, if I can balance both, like both my business and my 9-to-5, why not? And at the same time, I'm also like setting an example for my clients who have 9-to-5 jobs, for them to realize that, hey, like, this is feasible for them too.
Sure. Yeah. So is it like kind of like the what Gary Vee does? Like, he says you work 9-to-5 and then you just do your side hustle till like 2 a.m. Is that kind of what your schedule is like? Or
some days I definitely do stay up late, but it's not really for work. It's just I tend to have trouble sleeping. But I'm just on social media and stuff, but I'm not necessarily like working till 2 a.m.
Okay. So just like scrolling through Instagram. One of my friends, he says it's like people are on Instagram like a crack crazed monkey looking for banana, and they're just like on all the time, and it's true. Like, social media, it changes the game for sure, you know, for a lot of people, like, in your YouTube as well. Like, so for someone starting off on YouTube, what would you suggest to them, like how they should go about YouTube?
I think first of all is to really understand what you want from YouTube. Like a lot of people, when they start, you know, creating YouTube videos, they just go in with the mindset of, I'll just put on whatever, like put up whatever videos I want to put up. But I think it's really important to have some sort of intention at first. That intention can change, but then if you don't have an intention to begin with, your audience will be confused. Like if in the beginning, your intention is just to like put up daily vlogs, then don't expect your videos to go viral, because like, honestly, no one gives a fuck about your life other than like your friends and family. And so if your goal
is interesting, or you're doing fun stuff, like,
like if your goal is to be viral, then you probably want to find topics that will go viral. If your goal is to make money, then you probably want to think of other ways to increase your income streams and not just depend on YouTube ad revenue. So really like be intentional before you even get started, or even if you already got started, start getting intentional now so that you can actually, you know, do the right steps to get to where you want to be.
Okay. So your YouTube, right now, I guess you're consistent on that. And also I love what you teaches on wealth. Cause like people don't do that. Like in school, for example, you don't learn how to create wealth. So what were, I guess, if someone just starting out and maybe they have like a couple thousand or maybe even 10,000, like, you know, what would you suggest them to first get into to build that wealth or generational wealth or whatnot, whatever?
First of all, invest. But before you even invest, if you have like, let's say money in hand, you also want to know that like you want to patch up the holes in your system, which includes if you have any consumer debt, if you have any high interest loans, pay them off first, because these are basically holes that if you don't patch them up, even if you make a ton of money, it's gonna keep leaking out because you have to keep on paying the interest over time. And so that's the first thing, pay off debt. And then second is invest. And in terms of investing, really to educate yourself first before just jumping into any investment opportunity, because there are a ton of choices out there. And so it's really easy for people to fall into the trap of, you know, FOMO and wanting to follow whatever is the like biggest, like trendiest thing right now. And so first of all, also educate yourself before even investing. And of course, always keep on learning, because learning doesn't stop. Sure, personal finance, like you can say that's easy, it's all about, you know, earning more and saving more and in the end building up your wealth, but you know, how to earn more, how to save more, these are all things that there are always more ways to make money and more ways to save money. And it's like
so I guess we could just
let me switch my Wi-Fi.
Sure. First time that happened?
Yeah, I've never had that happen before. Okay. Should we like start over, or?
Yeah, do you remember the question? Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I think the question, one second.
I think you're, I don't know, it's frozen. Your face is, okay, now it's good.
Okay, yeah, now it's good? Okay. I think the question was,
I was like, so if you could invest, if you had like like 5 to 10,000 invest, what would you invest in? And you said, I'll ask that again, and then.
Okay. Yeah.
So if you had like 5 to 10,000 to invest, like what would you recommend someone who's just starting to learn, like that?
If you only have 5 to 10,000 to invest, first of all, I'll ask you if you have paid off your debt, right? Your high interest debt. These are always, you know, the first thing that are basically like holes in your pocket. If you don't patch them up, you're gonna have to leak more of your money out to pay off the interest. And so this is always the first step. And the second step, if you have 5 to 10,000, is also to think about investment vehicles. If you don't yet have a retirement account, I always recommend people to look into Roth IRA, because that way you'll be able to have your investments grow tax-free. And that's also like a very popular like way that people do, so that they can, you know, keep investing their money. And as long as they don't take their gains out, as long as they don't take their capital gains out, they can leave that money in their Roth IRA and keep on growing it, even if they do buy and selling within their Roth IRA. And of course, also to educate yourself, if you have like $5,000 to $10,000, this is like enough money for you to get the proper education for you to expand your income streams. If you're currently earning, let's say, less than six figures, then you might also want to think of ways to increase your income, because it's not just about saving, it's also about how to increase your income and income streams. So that is where I would suggest people to start.
Are there any like resources you know of, maybe even your own website, you know, you could share with people? Yeah.
So I do have a YouTube channel, and on my YouTube channel, I talk a lot about investing, and also I openly share my portfolios, like what I buy and sell. And I also share like why I buy and sell these stocks. So that is just my name, Cherry Tung. And I also have other resources that I link to my YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. So for example, a lot of times I have like free courses on Teachable. I also link that on my YouTube channel. I also have like free trainings that are also linked on my YouTube channel. So that would be like the hub for all the resources.
Okay, nice. And so where did you go to educate yourself on all this? Like where did you learn and things like that?
Yeah, it's really like a combination of my own education. So I did go to USC School of Accounting, and then afterwards I did work in the field of finance accounting. And of course, there's also a lot of self-education and also purchasing, you know, courses, programs, reading books, everything combined with like real life experience, actually like putting money in the stock market and testing things out, like all of these combined.
Sure. Yeah, the stock market's been going crazy lately, right? And it's been, do you think it'll crash, or do you, like, you know, Bitcoin's also been going up like crazy. So like, what are your thoughts on that? You think it's going to crash soon, or it's a long-term, you know?
Yeah, my thought is that I'm a long-term investor, so I don't really focus on like what happens in the short run, because no one can really predict what happens in the short run. Like a lot of people during March are like, oh my gosh, take all your money out of the stock market. Like this is too dangerous. Don't invest, stop investing. But like it bounced back up like really, really quickly. And no one has really, you know, expected that. And same thing with like right now, a lot of people are, you know, predicting what's going to happen to the stock market in the short run. But really, like no one can for sure guarantee what's going to happen. And my point of view is that like just put money that you don't need to touch in the short run into the stock market. Any money that you need right now, put it into your checking and emergency fund, because you don't want to risk having no money to cover any emergencies in your life. And in the long run, the stock market is always going to bounce back. And so even if right now you're worrying about like what's going to happen in like 2021 or 2022, let's say in 30 years, the stock market will always be higher than what it is today.
Yeah. And can you explain why is that? And like it's always like that, right? And I guess why is it like that?
Yeah. So it's really a combination of like different aspects. First of all, there's the technological aspect of it. We are always innovating. We are always growing as an economy. So that's first of all. Of course, inflation is also another part of it. Like $1 today is not the same $1 as like 30 years ago. So that's another aspect of it. And of course, like you also heard of the Fed's pumping money into the economy. And so from that aspect, it's also difficult to prevent stocks from going up when the Fed is just, you know, constantly pumping money into companies, small businesses, large corporations.
Sure, sure. What would you say are your top three stock picks right now?
Currently, I'm not actively buying anymore because I don't see like a lot of buying opportunities. But some of my major, like biggest holdings includes Facebook, Alibaba, and Tesla.
Okay, yeah, Tesla's been going up like a lot, and Neo's been going up a lot too. Neo, that stock. So that's like the Chinese Tesla.
Yeah.
Right. That's what they say. But cool. So do you have siblings? Like, are you, you know, are you only, you know, child, or do you have siblings, or are you the oldest? Like, what?
I do have a brother.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Older?
Oh, he's younger.
A younger brother. Okay, nice. Mm-hmm. So he must learn a lot from you, I guess. Right?
he's still really young. He's still just like, you know, studying right now, but he sometimes does say, hey, when I grow up, I want to be like my sister. I'm just like, oh my gosh.
I'll be a YouTuber.
Don't say that. That's so much pressure.
I'll be an influencer. Yeah, I mean, because I'm the, okay, there's pressure on me too. I'm the oldest, but it's also like as Asians too, like I'm sure your parents, like what did your parents think when you kind of left? Well, you kind of didn't really leave because you're still working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what were their thoughts when you're like, hey, I'm going to do YouTube and coaching online? They're like,
Yeah, it's funny because they don't know much about my business, and I don't plan on telling them that much either, because I don't think they want me to pursue my business. I think their point of view is more like, you know, just have a steady 9-to-5 and just, you know, live.
Care? I don't know. Would they care? Yeah. Maybe they would care. I don't know.
Yeah, just like live a peaceful life. That's kind of like their point of view. But I kind of want more than the bare minimum, or in my opinion, just having a 9-to-5 is just not enough for like my personality and how I want to live my life. And so I don't even share that side with them. I think like as long as I fulfill what they want in their daughter, which is like, you know, have a steady 9-to-5 job or have a steady income, then they'd be okay.
Because you know, entrepreneurship is not steady all the time, for sure. And that's why I think one of the hardest mindsets is to stop from like a paycheck mindset to like entrepreneur mindset, which is like you're going to get paid based on how much you work, but you're not really trading time for money, like for a dollar amount. It's just based on what deals you get and things like that. And so so I guess for your clients, I guess what are some ways you kind of teach them? Do you teach them how to use social media, how to get clients for their clients, their coaching programs? That's the method you use.
Yeah, so I have 16 income streams I built for myself, which includes like my coaching program, includes my courses. So I do teach them like everything that I know, which is like what is good about being coached by someone who has been there, done that, because they can share all their knowledge with you. And it's not like a strict like, here is a box that you have to fit in, which is what normally happens at a 9-to-5 job. And one thing that I notice a lot of people, they run into when they, you know, switch from being a 9-to-5 employee to being an entrepreneur, is that they oftentimes trap themselves in a box and they wait for instructions. But as you know, as an entrepreneur, you don't really have instructions, and you kind of just, you know, have to figure it out, have to try different things, and no one's going to be there to tell you, hey, here's like an ABC that you have to do.
Sure, sure. And I think that's what makes it seem so risky and like unsafe for people. They think, hey, there's no like guarantee of a paycheck after 2 weeks, or there's no guarantee of like you're going to get a job. But then that's not stable either, because if they want to let you off, that's, you know, on you. And so you're not in control of your income. So I guess who's been some of your biggest like inspirations in terms of as an entrepreneur and just as a businesswoman and, you know, what you're doing today?
I really look up to Vanessa Lau. She's one of my first business coaches that I first hired. And I really like her business model and how she has one core program that she really pushes. I think that's like a really unique way compared to a lot of other coaches that I know. They have like a ton of different programs and they're kind of like competing for competition. And when people don't know what to choose, they just don't choose anything at all. So I think it's a really a cool, you know, business model that she has. Another person I really look up to is Amy Porterfield. So she has a podcast, and I like to listen to her podcast a lot just for inspiration. And I just feel like after listening to her podcast, she makes me feel like everything's possible. And she just has a really like friendly tone, and she kind of like breaks things down so that they're really easy to understand. It's like a very step-by-step way of understanding how online marketing works. So I also really look up to her.
Okay, nice. Yeah, I've heard of it. Well, both of them, Vanessa and Amy Porterfield. So, and I think they both have podcasts, right? Seems like.
Yeah.
And you have your podcast as well, or?
I haven't really like uploaded anything. So, that is still in the works.
Okay. That's still in the works. Nice. And so what are some things, I guess, your followers or people who follow you might not know about? Maybe they're just like, they think you're super successful and like you're like a superhuman, you know? So what are some things that you might not know, right?
I am not a superhuman. I think one thing that a lot of people might not know about me is that I used to live in a car. So in between the transition period before my Big Four accounting job and my current job, so when like after I switched my job, I haven't switched my living location. So I was on the other side of LA, and with LA traffic, it actually takes me around 2 hours to get to where I work. So that's like 4 hours round trip.
Wow. So from where you live, I thought you lived in LA now.
Yeah. Well, I live in West LA now, but prior to that, I lived in like the 626 area. So 626 area to West LA, that's like 2 hours with traffic.
Yeah, then back, that's like 4 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. So back then, I decided to live in my car so that I don't have to commute every single day.
Oh my gosh! So you would go to work and sleep after work in your car?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So instead of driving back home, I would just sleep in my car.
So what time would you end work?
I usually end work around like 7, 8 p.m. What's good about, you know, working at a tech company is that they also have like 3 meals provided.
Yeah.
So okay. Basically, I just, you know, work till 7, 8 and have my dinner finished. And then I also tend to want to just like hang at my workplace for as long as I can. And then when I go to my car is really like sleeping time because there's like very little space for me to do anything other than sleeping.
Dang, so you're like would you say you're like a workaholic, or some people would say like, you know,
I think I definitely had that phase in my life, but that was also like one of the darkest periods of my life because I just quit my Big Four accounting job and I just felt like I lost that, you know, purpose, that North Star in life, because that was what I chased after throughout all my life. Like I just wanted to get a, you know, good respectable job.
Yeah. Okay. And then you realize that like this is not enough to kind of live the life you want. You're like, I'm not gonna, you know, I need to make more money. So how do I do that? That's when you go onto YouTube and coaching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not just like how do I make more money, but also how do I find more meaning? Because sure, like as a partner, you can make a ton of money, but at the same time, do I really want to like spend like 20, 30 years of my life doing something that does not really make me feel passionate about?
Sure, sure. So I guess for those listening, because I'm sure like a lot of people, even your peers, feel that way. They're mm-hmm. kind of just at a job they're not really passionate about, and it just mm-hmm. pays the bills. What would you recommend to them if they're wanting more out of life and kind of want, because you know there's a phase when you want more but you just don't know where to go, how to start? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. what did you start, and what would you recommend to people?
First of all, I firmly believe that human beings are all motivated by pain and pleasure. And so if you just want something, but you don't want it hard enough, you won't actually get the motivation to actually, you know, get work done. And so first of all, you have to convince yourself that you're actually not satisfied with your current state. Because a lot of people, they're like, oh, I want more. But they're just like, they just stop at the I want stage and they're not actually doing something about it.
Sure. And is that, you think, because they're too comfortable, or they're just kind of like, you know, they're okay with where they're at and stuff like that?
Yeah, a combination of being too comfortable and also just like brainwashing themselves into thinking that this is not that bad.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And so when I really like started working towards what I want, I remember telling myself that this is that bad, and I have to stop convincing myself that this is okay. And I have to start really facing the truth. And the truth is that I don't want to just do this for the rest of my life. And the second thing is that it is gonna take a lot of time, especially if you want to also juggle a 9-to-5. And like, this is a decision that you have to stick with before you see any significant result.
Sure.
Yeah. Not everyone's like, you know, really super lucky. Not everyone can see results within like the first couple months of working towards something. And so like, never give up too easily. And sometimes, like a lot of times, I see people just give up right before something was going to happen.
Okay. So for you, what kept you going? Was it just kind of like, mm-hmm. hey, there's more that I want that I can't stop? Like, mm-hmm. but what was your why that kept you going? Because people need a strong, they say that you need a strong emotional why to
keep
doing
mm-hmm. something. So, you know, one of my strongest whys is definitely control, like being able to have control over my own life, being able to have control over my own financial situation, being able to control what life choices I make. Like in the future, can I be work optional? Do I have to work a 9-to-5? Can I live in like any country or any city that I want? Can I travel whenever I want to? Like all of these are part of like the reasons why I want to do what I'm currently doing, which is, you know, continue expanding my income and income streams and making an impact, is because I want that control. And I also want to help other people have that control over their lives so that they don't have to, you know, keep running in the rat race and never seeing like the end.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of people are living that, but they're just, they just come home and watch TV and just kind of like, they don't really think about it until, you know, let me just wait till I retire and then let me enjoy my life. But that whole time was like, what were you doing? You know, like you've been building. And so, so you also teach on like passive income as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And whatnot. Okay, that's cool. And yeah, you know a lot that most people, I guess, don't know, or they don't even learn in school. What do you do for fun? Like, I'm sure people are like, okay, do you just work all day, Cherry, or do you like, you have fun things you like to do, and you know, like hobbies and stuff?
I love food. I'm a huge foodie, but it's a little difficult with the pandemic going on, but I definitely really enjoy my food. That's why I decided to stay in LA. And can I say my hobby is also making money? I think making money is really fun. It's kind of like a game, and like just seeing ways that you can make more money and ways that you can save more money. Like, it's also exciting. Like, the other day I just switched my home insurance into a different company, and I save, I think, a couple hundred bucks, and you know, this really adds up every single year. And I'm like, wow, this is like very satisfying.
Right. Home insurance. What is that? Home insurance?
Yeah, home insurance. So I just switched like the company, like the provider, and I just saved a couple hundred bucks.
Oh, dang, that's cool. Or like or credit repair or like collections. Mm-hmm. I learned today that from one of my nice my friend, but he was saying that like collections agencies and things like that, they, you don't actually have to pay them. You just kind of, you cancel it and you work on the credit. But there's a lot of things that, yeah, we don't learn in school. You gotta learn.
Definitely.
So, I love how you're spreading like self-education, and that's, that's the new future, right? Like, that's the pandemic. And so, so yeah, I guess, you know, if you could basically go back in time to like a younger Cherry,
yeah,
and then kind of tell her like a piece of advice or wisdom, like, you know, maybe when you were in a dark place, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you said you were living in your car. I don't know if if your parents knew that. It's just kind of like you and yourself kind of, and you're like, I got to figure this out. Mm-hmm. What's something you would tell to yourself, your younger self?
What I would tell myself is probably just to firmly believe in what you're trying to do, and everything can be figured out. I think this would be what I tell myself. There isn't like a blueprint to everything. And there's a saying, like, all roads lead to Rome. There are many ways of how people can, you know, build up their income and income stream. Some people do real estate, some people do like stock market investing, some people do e-commerce. Like, there are so many ways of getting to like the final, so-called final destination, or like your financial goal. But then the most important thing to keep in mind is just to focus. Right? To believe in yourself, believe that you can do it, and just to focus, and like not get easily sidetracked and not easily give up.
Okay. Not easy to give up. Awesome. Yeah. And where can people find you? Like, where can people find you and connect with you?
Yeah. I'm always on IG. So you can find me at cherrytongue.co, and cherry is just the fruit cherry, and the tongue is my last name, T-U-N-G. So that is my Instagram handle, and for my YouTube channel is just my name, Cherry Tongue. My website is also cherrytongue.co, so very easy to find me, and I'm always like pretty active on these platforms.
Pretty active on them. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, building that personal brand. Personal branding, that's the future. Yeah. So awesome. Cool. Well, thank you, and you know, that's where you guys can find Cherry, and yeah, thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much for having me.
Cool. Cool. Awesome. So